It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. What makes someone love their job? There's a lot that goes into answering that question, from what you're paid to how safe your job is. A couple of years ago, a group of researchers asked thousands of Illinois workers how they feel about their jobs as part of a study for the Project for Middle Class Renewal. That is part of the School of Labor and Employment Relations at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. We now have the findings from that study. Wenchen Wang is one of the authors. She's Industry Assistant Professor of Business Economics in the Stuart School of Business at the Illinois Institute of Technology. What a title. Before that, she was a postdoctoral research associate at Illinois. She joins me now to talk about some of what she and her fellow researchers found out. Wenchen, welcome back to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Oh, Brian, thanks for having me again.
We'll be on this topic for about the next 16 minutes. If you want to join us today at 800-222-9455, what makes you feel the way you do about the jobs you have or had? What do you think businesses could be doing to improve their workers' jobs? Or maybe you have questions about this research. You can join the conversation again at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. All right, this was a survey of more than 5,000 working Illinoisans. What are some of the questions you ask them?
Yeah, so basically, this is a fairly recent survey. So we did the survey from 2023 to 2024. So we surveyed more than 5,600 people working in Illinois, and the people distributed across different industry and occupations. So our deal was very simple. So instead of just looking at payroll numbers or employee reports, we wanted to hear directly from workers about, you know, how they experienced their job. So that's the kind of unique perspective, which is usually missing from those official economic data. So we asked them a very simple and straightforward main question. And the question is, on which step of the ladder from 0 to 10 would you say you personally feel your employment situation is now? And then we dug deeper with questions like, you know, how secure do you feel in your job? How meaningful is your job, both to you personally or to society? We also ask a list of questions about their belonging, about their safety, about their scheduling and flexibility. So we have a really comprehensive survey, includes over 100 questions. And in our survey, we also include key demographic questions like their age, gender, location, whether they're in a union and things like that. So it's a really comprehensive picture of what working experience feel like today for Illinois workers.
Well, you just mentioned that you asked about age, demographics, that sort of thing. Who were the people you ended up surveying, broadly speaking?
So basically, I guess, you know, if I list some of the mean kind of descriptive statistics for the average person joining this kind of survey, so they are white. They're male. Male is like half the percent of our sample. Their mean age is around 42. And, you know, half of them, they did not complete college. And 30% of them have an annual income below $75,000. So that's about like a mean statistics for people participating in our survey.
And is that broadly representative of Illinois workers in general?
Yeah, so basically, we really make sure that our sample, although it's only 5,600, but it's a representative sample for Illinois worker. And the way we do this is that we run the survey on a professional platform called the Qualtrics, and we adopt what's called the quota sampling to make sure our results actually reflect the Illinois worker demographics. So basically what that means is that we set targets or caps for key characteristics. So I can give you an example. So for example, in the census data, the data collected from the American Community Survey, they show that, you know, in 2023 to 2024, there are about 52% of Illinois workers that are men. So once our survey responses from men hit that share, we stopped taking more men so that women and other groups were properly represented. So we did the same thing for things like race, ethnicity, union status, and even for certain industries. And by doing this kind of quota sampling, I think we ended up with a sample that's very representative of the Illinois workforce as a whole.
All right, let's talk about some of the results. So this might seem like common sense, but The data show if you pay someone more or give them better benefits, they're more likely to say they're satisfied with their job. How do you build on that idea in the study?
So basically, I think our main kind of result is that, you know, pay matters, but it's not a whole story. So basically, the idea for our survey is that we ask this list of questions and we put the indicators in the survey. We asked the respondents into 10 broad dimensions. And the dimensions we include things like pay, benefits, work-life balance, job security, advancement opportunities, scheduling, how's your relationship with your supervisor and coworkers? How's your physical and emotional safety? What's the meaningfulness of work? And finally, voice and empowerment. So our main finding is that pay matters, but it's not the whole story. So basically, you know, people, the biggest driver of job quality we find in our study is job security. So people who feel secure rate their jobs much higher. And right after job security, we find it's about meaningfulness and belonging and whether people are in a union. So pay does matter, but emotional safety at work actually has just as much impact as wages. And on the kind of negative side, you know, when workers worry about losing their jobs to AI, or they feel their job is easily replaceable, their job security kind of score drops. So I guess the big lesson is this, like, you know, a good job isn't just about a paycheck. It's about stability, dignity, and having a say. And when people have these kind of things in their job, they can feel, you know, the economy is working for them. And without these kind of things, they might feel, you know, disconnected with their out of work, their day-to-day lives from the economy.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Let's stay with security, because we asked members of our texting group some of the questions that you had in the survey. And I should tell people, if you want to join, send the word talk to 217-803-0730. So obviously this is a much smaller sample and anecdotal, but we heard from Aaron in Springfield, who says, it would be near impossible to replace what I have now. If I lose what I have for income, healthcare, and benefits, it would be devastating. Reform for a universal social safety net for all three of those fears hanging over the working poor would transform the 50% of working population households that have an ownership stake of only 1.5% of the national wealth. So basically he's saying 50% of the working households basically only have 1.5% of the national wealth. Thanks for that message, Aaron. Wenxin, I wonder if this is something you hear about, right? People who stay in their job or feel stuck in their job because they can't risk losing healthcare or their wage level.
Yeah, so basically we find, so for those kind of benefits kind of indicators, we find that, you know, benefits and flexibility or like all those kind of benefits that employer provided you makes a huge difference. So for the benefits part, in our survey, we kind of cover all kinds of benefits, health insurance, you know, retirement benefits, tuition assistance. And we also ask for workers about their employer supports for work-life kind of reconciliation, for example, paid sick leave, paid vacation, personal leave, all those kind of things. And we find that, you know, workers with no employer-provided benefits rate their jobs under six, so six out of 10. But those with three or more benefits jump up closer to 7.5. So basically, you know, there's a huge jump between workers with no benefits and worker with benefits. So I would imagine, you know, that the comment in the chat that makes really good sense. You know, people, you know, benefits is a really big matter for them if they want to have a good job.
All right, let me reintroduce our conversation. This is the 21st show. We're talking about what makes people feel the way they feel about their jobs, from wages to scheduling to safety. Wenxin Wang investigated that as part of a study for the Project for Middle Class Renewal at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Wenxin's a business econ professor at the Illinois Institute of Technology, and we're talking with her about some of the findings of that research. A couple more text messages we got. Karen in Champaign says she has a lot of friends who love doing farm work, but Quote, they all feel like they cannot continue to farm. They need health insurance and they want to spend time with their families rather than have strangers raise their kids. They would have to work multiple jobs to earn enough money to pay their basic bills and still not have health insurance. And this problem exists for people in the food industry, in construction, handyman businesses, nursing, and so many other areas. All these people are doing jobs they enjoy, but are one catastrophe away from losing everything. I'm going to read just as a sort of summary of another message we got from someone who preferred to remain anonymous. They said they worked for a long time at Walgreens and more recently at Amtrak. Long story short, the Walgreens job was quite secure, but had bad pay and abysmal healthcare coverage, as this person described it. Meanwhile, the Amtrak job has above average pay, excellent healthcare, but the texter said it's feels very precarious now because of the work of Elon Musk and Doge and all the cutbacks that have happened. Thank you to everyone who sent us messages on this. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us in the next few minutes or so. Wenchen, so as far as you can rank some of these different factors, what has the most influence? Like if somebody's looking for a job, right, and maybe they have to choose benefits, pay, safety, do I like the people, do I feel mission driven, like what is there practical advice for people here and how they think about seeking, you know, what attributes they want to look at in jobs? Because like, right, life's always a series of trade-offs. You can't always get all 10 factors at the top of the charts.
Yeah, so I think we have some like two kind of main results for our study. So basically, when we model kind of all the indicators and how those indicators predict the self-rated employment quality, like job security is like the strongest predictor of how people feel about their jobs. So basically, in our sample, about like, you know, 70% of workers in our survey said they feel secure. And those people who said they feel secure, they tend to rate their job quality much higher. And I think we find some of the statistics that, you know, when security is shaken, everything else tend to look worse. And, you know, because I listened into the previous conversation about Beerstown, and so I think that's like a really good demonstration, you know, how for how job security can affect people's, and especially, you know, immigrants' employment quality. And I can actually relate to this aspect personally. So as a professor, on paper, my job should be very secure, but I'm actually here on a work visa, and to be more specific, like a H-1B working visa. And just last week, last Friday, the Trump administration signed a proposed rule that would have required like a 100,000 application or renewal fee for work visa. So for me, that was super terrifying. And if you'd asked me last Friday to rate my job security and job quality, I probably would have given a very, very low score. So basically, I think that's the whole point, right? Job security isn't just about like the contract you hold, it's about the conditions around you. And the conditions can include, you know, policies, technology, or even climate shifts. And when people feel that kind of uncertainty, their entire sense of job quality drops, you know, no matter how good the jobs look on paper. So other than the model, we also asked the workers to kind of rank the things that's most important to them among those indicators. And we still find, you know, pay came out on top, and job security was right behind, and it's followed by hours and the scheduling flexibility, and then benefits like you discussed. So things like career outlook and supportive relationships at work, they ranked lower, but that doesn't mean they don't matter, but it shows that, you know, workers tend to prioritize the basic first and the things they can see and directly count outcomes first. And after they satisfy those kind of needs, they goes on to, you know, purpose, safety, and sustainability, those kind of factors. So in terms of practice kind of advice, as a worker myself, I think, you know, just you need to value what you think will help you feel you are doing a good, like you have a good job at your job. So among all these indicators, I think different people will have different stories.
Wow, I can't get over what you said about the H-1B visas. I'm sorry you're experiencing that. That does sound terrifying. And, you know, we'll have to see if IIT can give you a $100,000 raise, I guess. I know there's a lot of back and forth on that policy. Hopefully it doesn't end up going the worst way possible. You know, we're coming to the end of our time together. One thing that I also noticed is you said this survey was 2023, 24. It's a time when the economy on paper, it was doing well, but consumer sentiment, people, would tell pollsters they were just really pessimistic about the state of the American economy. I guess there was a big inflation hangover. I wonder if you see that reflected in the results here.
So basically, we didn't look at, those kind of macroeconomic indicators. We only look at the worker perspective, how they think their job is and how they rate their job quality. So in our survey, we didn't expect especially look for those, but I have been getting a lot of questions about, there's a disconnection between the good economic indicator and people's actual experience. So basically, if we don't look at this study, but look at some other results from like the census and stuff, on paper, the economy looks strong. So for example, like I think unemployment right now is low and specifically returning to the pre-pandemic level for almost all states. And GDP is growing, wages have risen, but we can still hear many people complain about, the economy is not good. I don't have a good experience in my job. And this, in my perspective, can be due to the fact that, workers, they don't experience the economy as numbers on a chart. They experience the economy in their daily lives. And our research shows that, many new jobs are part-time, low-wage, or gig jobs. And for those jobs, they are without stability or benefits. And that means that even if you're employed, it may not feel like you have a good job. So I think the other piece on that kind of disconnection is inequality. So I think I touched base on that last time I was on the show, is that the aggregate wage growth, although it sounds positive, but in Illinois, that much of that wage growth has gone to higher income groups. So we still see big persistent gaps by race and gender, and those gaps actually widen at the top of the pay scale. So while the averages may look good, a lot of people, they feel left behind and they might blame the economy for this. So basically, in short, there's a disconnect. The economy can be healthy overall, but if workers are juggling, unpredictable schedules, low pay, and little security, their lived experience can not line up with those headliner economic indicators.
Wenchen Wang is Industry Assistant Professor of Business Economics at the Illinois Institute of Technology. Thank you so much for being with us today to talk about this report.
Thanks for having me again.
Coming up after the break, we'll be taking a turn into the arts, talking with a theater group out of Bloomington Normal. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.